Well, I tell you what, that's good stuff right there.
Amen. That's right.
I gotta get my water. Here we go. Can't go without my water. I tell you what, thank you guys. Jordan, Cody, and Christopher. Boy, Christopher, that's first time he's played for a special music. Good job. Man, I tell you what. Aren't you glad that the love of God pursues us?
Amen.
If he hadn't have pursued us, we would have never come to him. By the way, you can't say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll come in my time and on my terms. Let me tell you what, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you're going to come under God's terms. He's the one that draws you to the Savior. And we're thankful for Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And aren't you glad he died for you today? He loves you. If you don't hear anything else out of this service today, I want you to know that God loves you with an everlasting, unconditional love. His love has no strings attached. He doesn't love you because you're good. He doesn't love you because you're bad. He doesn't love you because you're rich or poor or your race or anything else is attached to that. He loves you, period. Thank God for his love, that agape love that he gives to us who are believers. And I'm so thankful for that today. Well, I want to thank my staff and on my behalf. Whenever I was gone, these guys took care of everything. I think I'm a little, yes, they did. I might be expendable. I'm getting a little concerned now. But these guys, they preached while I was gone. They visited the hospital. They ministered to people. They did such a great, great job. And thank you, church, for your prayers in my time in the hospital with pneumonia. Second time in 2 years I've had to be in the hospital with pneumonia. But you know what? Our God is faithful. And I'm here today because he is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And I'm thankful for that healing. And thank you for the time of vacation that Andrew and I were able to get away. We kind of went out and spotted some of the places that our senior adults are going to go to. In Branson, we went to the hotel and looked at the hotel, and we went to some of the eating places that we haven't eaten before. We ate at one of those places, and they have good food, so we were checking all that out. And then about Wednesday, we said, well, Andrew loves to ride trains, so I said, I want to take you on that train ride. We'd never gone on the train ride. But I said, after that, why don't we just go home? And she said, yes, she was wanting to go home. Why? Because we had two grandchildren that were playing in the regional tennis tournament for 2A schools. Our two oldest grandchildren, Zoe and Zachary. And by the way, Zach ended up in fourth place in regional, and Zoe ended up in second place. And in May, she's going to state, one of eight girls that'll be playing for the state championship in 2A tennis. And I don't know where they got all that talent from. Her mother used to play tennis when she was in high school. They had to get it from somebody. I don't know, not me for sure. But we're thankful. And then Andrea was determined she wanted to be back for Camden surgery. And we got back, and she was able to go over there. I prayed. They came over, and I prayed for them the night before. And I'm trying to stay away from hospitals and places that I can continue to get pneumonia right now for just a little bit. So thank you, church, for the time that you allowed us to get away. But you know what I've discovered? The Lord gave me a word this morning over these last few weeks here about what does it mean to be at the feet of Jesus. Being at the feet of Jesus. It's amazing how many times in the Bible you find people at the feet of Jesus. And at the feet of Jesus, we find many things that the Lord does for people when they come to him at his feet. I'm thankful that we had that opportunity to come to the feet of Jesus and know there is healing and help in him. Amen. And throughout the scriptures, we're told that when we come to the feet of Jesus, The Lord will meet us where we are, and he'll bring us to where we need to be. Now, I do not have a particular text. We're going to look at several scriptures this morning. I don't usually do that, but I want you to see people at the feet of Jesus and exactly what happens at his feet. First of all, may I tell you today, at the feet of Jesus is a place of pardon and forgiveness. If you have a copy of the scripture today, I want you to go to Luke chapter 7. Let's go there this morning. Luke chapter 7, and we're going to see a woman who comes at the feet of Jesus, and she does a remarkable thing at his feet. And by the way, what had happened, let me give you a background. In Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36, there was a Pharisee that wanted Jesus to eat with him. So he went over to his house to eat with him. And while he is there, there's this woman who shows up. If you see what the scripture says in verse 37 of Luke 7, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him to, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know what manner of woman this one that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." By the way, we know from the study that this woman was a lady of ill repute. She was probably a prostitute. And she had come and she wanted to get to where Jesus was. She was heard that he was at the house of this Pharisee. And by the way, Jesus is going to call him by name. Later in the text, his name was Simon. And we're going to find that she comes to the feet of Jesus, and out of her love and out of her seeking him, she all of a sudden comes there, and she takes an alabaster box of ointment, by the way, which was very expensive, and she takes that ointment, she breaks it open, and she stood before him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now, by the way, at the feet of Jesus, may I tell you today, there's pardon and forgiveness. This woman of ill repute, this woman was void of chastity. She found forgiveness for her sins. She knelt there at the feet of Jesus. And notice what, there's a conversation that takes place, because Jesus knew how Simon had reasoned in his own heart. And he says, "Let me ask you a question, Simon." Look with me down in verse 41. "There's a certain creditor who had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence or 500 pieces of silver, and the other 50 pieces of silver. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both." Excuse me. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose he whom he forgave most." And he said to him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou, woman?" He said, "I entered your house," catch this, "and you gavest me no water for my feet." By the way, in that time, there was a responsibility when someone came to your house, there was a servant at the house who would wash your feet, who would take care of you. He said, "Not only did you not wash my feet, but this lady has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her very own hair. Thou gavest me no kiss." And by the way, that was a greeting that day. "But this woman, since the time I came, has not ceased to kiss my feet, my head with oil, and thou didst not anoint me, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." And then notice what he says, "Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She loved much, and to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And he said to the woman, look at verse 50, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Now listen to me today, folks. I want you to know at the feet of Jesus there's pardon. And aren't you glad? I'm here today to tell you, if you're willing to come to the feet of Jesus, you're willing to come to the Lord today in this service and say, hey, I come just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. You come just as you are. And by the way, when we come just as we are, the Lord will not let us stay that way. This woman was a woman of ill repute. She was a sinner, but yet Jesus forgave her. He says, your faith hath made you whole once again. And God had restored her. Jesus had restored her because she was willing to humble herself and come to the feet of Jesus. See, many people today are not saved because they're not willing to humble themselves. They do not receive pardon because they're not willing to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. May I tell you good news today? Every sin that you've committed up to today, God will forgive today in this place. It's like if you wrote all your sins on this wall here, and some of us would need more than this wall, amen? If you wrote all your sins on this wall here, the Lord would come and he would wipe every one of them away with his blood. His blood covers our sin. And when we come to him, and our faith will make us whole. By the way, this isn't the only woman that came to Jesus. There was another woman. She doesn't come on her own accord in John chapter 8. She was a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. And according to the Old Testament law, she was to be stoned. And all these Pharisees and scribes had their rocks in their hands. And they cast her at the feet of Jesus in John chapter 8. And we know the scripture says that they said, okay, what are you going to do, Jesus, with this woman? We caught her in the very act of adultery. And Jesus stoops down and starts writing something in the sand. Some people believe he wrote their sins. Some people believe he wrote, you are forgiven. But whatever he wrote, he got up and he says this, you that are without sin can cast the first stone. And all of a sudden, thump, 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 thump. There was no stones left because, see, they knew they had sin in their life. And here's what he tells the woman. He says, woman, I want you to go and sin no more. He did not, catch this, he acknowledged her sin. He acknowledged our sin, but he will forgive us. But we're to go and sin no more. We're to go and live for him. That's what he does. See, at the feet of Jesus is a place of pardon. It's a place of forgiveness. And thank God we can come to his feet this morning. You can come to this altar and say, God, I have messed up. I have sinned. I have turned aside from you. I have missed the mark. And God, I'm willing to come to your feet and ask your forgiveness. And thank God he forgives us. Listen to this verse. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. There's not one sin that he will not forgive except this one, rejecting Jesus. That's the unpardonable sin, by the way, is when you say no to Jesus, the Holy Spirit says you need the Savior. He is the one who the Bible says in John, he convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's the one that draws people to Jesus. Today, if you feel a tug in your life at the time of the invitation time, that's the Holy Spirit saying you need a Savior. You need a Savior. And see, at the feet of Jesus is a place of pardon and forgiveness. Second this morning, at the feet of Jesus is a place of healing. If you have a copy of the scripture again, I want you to go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Let's go right over to Mark. Chapter 7. By the way, one thing you don't do is you don't come to church when the pastor hadn't preached in 2 weeks. Because you know he's got a lot to say. Amen? I'm just kidding. But listen to what it says here. Mark chapter 7, verse 25. By the way, let me say something right as you look at this. There are 35 miracles found in the Gospels, okay? 35 miracles that are recorded in the Gospels, synoptic Gospels. Now, some of the Gospels repeat the same. As you know, they tell the same miracles. But there's 35 miracles, and 4 of those miracles deal with women, okay? One was the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus healed her in Mark chapter 1. One was the raising of the widow's son in Luke chapter 7. Another was the raising of Lazarus with Mary and Martha, who were their sisters, saying, "Lord, if you had just been here, our brother would live." And then we find the 4th one here with the woman who we call the Gentile woman, the woman from Syrophoenician, a woman by nation. Look what the scripture says, verse 25. "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." By the way, she came to the right place, didn't she? Let me tell you something. Don't miss this today. If you got a problem, the best place to be is at the feet of Jesus. If you're dealing with something in your life, the best place to be is at the feet of Jesus. This woman had a daughter who had a demon within her, an unclean spirit. And by the way, as she comes, she falls at the feet of Jesus. And the woman was a Greek or a Gentile, a Syrophoenician and by nation. And she besought him that he would come and cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now, I want you to see something here. There's several barriers here that this lady could have just passed up. First of all, a woman back in that day would not speak to a man. Okay? That was a barrier between a man and a woman. Another thing, she was a Gentile. And a Gentile, Jesus was a Jew. And the Gentiles and the Jews didn't like each other. Another fact, that one of the things she was facing is that Satan had come and placed a demon within her young daughter's life. And the other, these disciples, you'll find here, they're trying to say, "Hey, Jesus is trying to rest. You need to just get out of the way." She had several barriers, but she did not let any of those barriers keep her from coming to Jesus. Today, you might find several barriers in your way of keep you from coming to Jesus, but don't let any of them stand in the way. And notice what the Bible says. "And Jesus said to her, 'Let the children first be filled. But if it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs.'" In other words, he was trying to say, "Hey, the Jews are important," but she's saying, "Hey, listen, just even dogs get the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she has come to her house, she found the devil gone and her daughter laid upon the bed. Wow. Jesus didn't even have to go there, folks. He just had to say the word. And aren't you glad? Because today, even though Jesus is not physically present in this church, we don't see him physically. His presence is here today, and he wants to touch someone. He wants to heal someone today. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He wants to heal you. Maybe you need spiritual healing. Maybe you need physical healing. Maybe today you need mental healing. Maybe today you need emotional healing. Maybe today God needs to touch you at the point of your need. Listen, if you're willing to come to the feet of Jesus, just like this woman who didn't let anything stand in her way, if you will come to the feet of Jesus, you will find healing for your soul. Is there anyone here that needs a healing? I'm going to tell you, I do. Oh, how we face the difficulties of life. But let me tell you something. As your pastor laid on that hospital bed, I turned to the Psalms, and I found comfort once again as I listened to those Psalms on my phone. Psalm after psalm after psalm, the Word of God welled up within me, and I found comfort and healing at the feet of Jesus. The outcast and the rejects find a happy place at His feet. Those who the world has wounded can be healed at the feet of Jesus. Those who have callous souls can be softened and saved by His touch. Today, may I tell you, you can come to the feet of Jesus and find the healing that you're looking for. So not only is it a place of forgiveness and pardon and a place of healing, may I tell you, thirdly, at the feet of Jesus, a place of learning. Learning. If you have a copy of Scripture, let's go back to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Let's go back there. You are going to have to listen faster. I got more sermon. Basically, let me give you the background here. In Luke chapter 10, we find Mary and Martha again. And we find that it came to pass, verse 38. Let's go there. Verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. It came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, you know the story of this. Most of us do. Martha was caught up in serving. She wanted to serve. She wanted to serve. She wanted to serve. That was her. But Mary wanted to learn. She went to the right place. She went to the feet of Jesus. And she went to the feet of Jesus. Notice what it says. And Martha was cumbered about, verse 40, with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she should help. Tell her to come help me, Lord. And what did Jesus say? He answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. By the way, let me tell you something. The greatest thing you can ever learn is to learn to sit at the feet of Jesus and let Him teach you His word. I want to challenge you every morning when you get up, before you run out into this day, the way of trouble that you'll have at work, the difficulties, the person who cuts you off on the highway and you get mad about. Let me tell you what, if your heart is right, God can change all of that. But what must we do? We must be like Mary. We must be someone who is willing to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn. May I tell you that He was the greatest teacher there ever was? They were amazed at His teaching, of His learning there at the temple when He was just 12 years old. Jesus was teaching even the doctors and those who were educated. They were amazed at His teaching. But at the place of learning, we find Jesus teaching Mary. And Martha was caught up. Oh, she was, there's nothing wrong with serving. But you know what? The Lord said, Mary has sought the better thing. At the feet of Jesus is a place of pardon and forgiveness. It's a place of healing. It's a place of learning. But may I tell you next, it's a place of prayer. A prayer. If you have a copy of the Scripture, let's go back to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I know I'm taking you around, but I'm trying to help you see all these places that we find people at the feet of Jesus and what they find there. Mark chapter 5, let's begin with verse 22. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogues, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Verse 22 there of Mark chapter 5, okay? And besought him greatly, saying, my daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Boy, if you had a daughter that was about to die, I imagine I have two daughters. I imagine I would be seeking the Lord about that. Amen? So would you. We would probably find ourselves in this altar. You know what's strange to me sometimes? Is this altar where people used to meet the Lord is empty many Sundays. Why is that so? I'm going to tell you why it's so. It's so because of pride. It's so because we say, well, I don't want anybody to think I have a problem. Let me let you in on a little secret. All of us have a problem. Every one of us in this place are dealing with something. We're dealing with something in our family. We're dealing with something in our workplace. We're dealing with something in our personal life. We all are dealing with things. But we find there the place of prayer. And as Jesus hears the cry of this one, Jairus, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him. And there was a certain, now on the way, catch this, there's a woman who we know as the woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years, she was bleeding. And she had spent all of her money going to doctors. All of her money trying to seek out help from somebody who would help her with this issue of blood. And the Bible says, look at verse 28. For she said, if I may just touch but his clothes. I just want to touch the hem of his garment. So all I need to do is just touch the hem of his garment. That's faith, folks. And straightway, the fountain of blood, her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Verse 29, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself the virtue had gone out from him, turned and said, who touched my clothes? And by the way, there's this big throng of people. All these people are following Jesus. And the disciples said, Lord, look at this multitude. Verse 31, and you're saying, who touched me? And when he looked about to see her, that he had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before him, fell at his feet, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. Now catch this, folks. I want you to hear this. This woman thought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. By the way, you and I cannot touch the hem of his garment, but I want you to know that we can come to the feet of Jesus and we can touch him in this place today through prayer. You and I can do that. We can stand here on earth and we can touch heaven. That's the reason the Bible says in Matthew 21, 22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. That's the reason the Bible says in John 15, 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's the reason the Bible says in Jeremiah 33, 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The scripture is full of promises. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Now I tell you, at the feet of Jesus is a place of prayer. This prayer is the proper position, kneeling. This lady fell before Jesus. Jairus fell at his feet. And then you'd think, well, everything got messed up. Jesus stopped. And the Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogues, be not be afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, you know, that went with Jesus to the Mount of Transfiguration, that went with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he come to the house of the rulers of the synagogue, and he seeth the turmoil there, and they wept, and they wailed greatly. And when he came in, he said, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel, she's not dead, she sleeps. And they laughed at him with scorn. And when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the little girl and them that were with him and entered in where she was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and he said, little child, arise. And straightway the little girl rose and walked. For she was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. May I tell you, at the feet of Jesus is a place of prayer. This man knew where to go. Yes, Jairus was a synagogue officer. We know he was a well-known man in the place, but he knew where he had to be. He had to be willing, get this, to kneel at the feet of Jesus and request the Lord to touch his daughter that was dead. May I tell you today that you and I can every day, we can be at the feet of Jesus in prayer. That's the reason in Hebrews 4:16 it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain help in our time of trouble. Yes, at the feet of Jesus is a place of pardon and forgiveness. It's a place of healing. It's a place of learning. It's a place of prayer. But may I tell you, fifthly, it's a place of thanksgiving. I don't have time to take you there, but you know this passage quite well. In Luke 17, there were 10 lepers. These lepers had leprosy, and if you had leprosy in that day, you were an outcast. You couldn't eat near your family because they could get leprosy. In fact, you had to cry out if someone came within so many feet of you. You had to say, leper, leper, leper. They were outcasts from their friends. They were outcasts from their family. They just huddled in their own little group. And Jesus comes by and heals the 10 lepers. But guess what? Only one. Only one came back and fell at his feet and thanked him. Say, boy, what about those other guys, man? Those nine, they were outcasts from their society, from their friends, and the Lord made them whole. Leprosy would cause your skin to turn white, and then before long you'd start losing digits in your fingers. It was a terrible disease. And the Lord made them whole, but yet only one returned. May I tell you today that the feet of Jesus is a place of thanksgiving, but you know what I think? We shouldn't be too hard on those nine guys, because many of us are in that same place. The Lord does something in our life, and we forget to thank him. We pray about something, he answers prayer, we forget to thank him. He does a work in our life, and we forget to thank him. I thank God today for what he's done in my life. I'm here today by the grace of God. I'm here today because of what the Lord has done. Thank God for what he's done for me. And I know many of you could give a testimony today saying, thank God for what he's done for me. By the way, you ought to give that testimony every day. You ought to talk of the goodness of God. I had my hair cut yesterday from a young lady named Gloria right here at the Total Cuts there in Joshua there. They do a good job there, by the way. This young lady, she goes to Cleburne Bible Church. We got to talking. She's cut my hair a few times now. Every time she cuts my hair, we talk about the Lord. It's sure good. We ought to be talking about the Lord with everyone. Amen. I had an opportunity when I was in the hospital to pray with a young lady. She was concerned that she hadn't found the right guy yet. She was saying, boy, you know, I just don't know if God has somebody for me. And I told her, yes, God has someone for you, but you do not settle for second best. Don't just marry the next guy that has a pair of pants on. I told her that. And I said, can I pray for you? She said, sure. And we just prayed right there. And I just prayed for her that God would send the right man to her, a man of God, a man that was walking with God, a person that would love her like she needed to be loved. And God gave us that opportunity. Folks, God gives us opportunities every day if we just are aware of them. But at the feet of Jesus is a place of thanksgiving. At the feet of Jesus is a place of restoration. I wished I had time this morning, but I don't. But I want to tell you real quick. You remember the Gadarene demoniac? This guy was running around naked. He was the first streaker, by the way. Seriously. He'd run around naked. He had chains on. He says, who are you? I'm Legion. He was full of demons. You remember what Jesus did? He cast those demons into the pigs. As the first case of deviled ham, by the way. And that's the reason your pastor doesn't eat deviled ham. I think it's full of the demons. But I want to tell you what. This man, he was in terrible shape, but the Bible said it's one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. They find him. In his right mind, he's clothed, and where do they find him? He's at the feet of Jesus. He had been made whole, folks. The Lord is able to restore you no matter where you've been. And then lastly, at the feet of Jesus is a place of worship. I love in Revelation chapter 1 when John is exiled to the Isle of Patmos, the Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Bible says in Revelation 1, 17, he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Think about that. John, the Revelator, 95 years old probably at this time, between 90 and 95 years old. He's kicked out to an island for preaching the gospel, but it was there he received the book of the Revelation, the Apocalypses, the unveiling of who Jesus was and what Jesus' plan for this world is. A lot of people are afraid of the book of Revelation, but it has a lot of wonderful things in it to teach us about what's going to happen. But where do we find John? At the place, at the feet of Jesus. There was one more man, and I close. He came to Jesus at the right time. He was young. He came with the right question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He came with the right attitude. He says, Lord, I kept the law. I've kept the commandments since I was a young boy. I have not committed adultery. I did not murder. I haven't stealed. And he went through those commandments. And Jesus looked at him and said, yet thou lackest one thing. See, this man, we call him the rich young ruler. He says, I want you to sell your goods and give it to the poor. And then you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible says it's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. He committed spiritual suicide because the Bible says he went away sad because he had much goods. He chose riches over Jesus. See, one day, those feet that walked down those dusty trails, those feet that people came to and were restored, those feet that gave hope and rest, Those feet, one day, you and I will see them again. Because the Bible says, as we sang earlier, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because we're going to be at the throne of Jesus in heaven, and we're going to fall down before his feet, and we're going to worship him and say, "Thou art worthy, Lord, to receive glory and honor and power and riches, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created." What a day that's going to be. But until then, every day, several times a day, you can find yourself at the feet of Jesus. And at the feet of Jesus, you'll find everything you're looking for. Every head bowed this morning, every eye shut.